Good morning, and welcome to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. This morning's radio is sponsored by Mary Alice Sharp in honor of Larry's birthday, and we have flowers here today, also provided by Terry Nicholson in honor of Troy's birthday. It's our birthday buddies this week. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be very appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church, located at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. In just a moment, we will hear the scripture reading of Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35, followed by our sermon entitled Truth and Responsibility by Pastor Angel Abshire. Then Jesus entered a house. And again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law, who came down from Jerusalem, said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons." So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying, "He has an evil spirit." Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." The word of God to the people of God.
Praise be to God. Today, I get to preach and correct a hoof and mouth thing that happened in Sunday school. If you don't attend Sunday school or midweek Bible, you really need to. It's a lot of fun. It's discipleship. It's growing closer with the people in your church. Today we'll be starting Gilligan's Island, which is the seven deadly sins. Sloth, one that I can struggle with sometimes. Actually, I kind of go both directions. I work 90 miles an hour for weeks on end, and then I just go down for a little bit. We were in Sunday school one day, and a proverb came up, and I stuck my foot in my mouth. Because they said that this proverb doesn't count anymore. And I said, "Well, I think everything in the Bible counts." Well, that one got me. The other thing we discussed in that lesson was people's inability in this generation to tell the truth or take responsibility for their actions. I remember Larry saying, "In my day, if we lied and we were caught in it, we admitted it, said we were sorry, did what we could to make amends, and went on." That's not the truth today. Today, I remember when my kids were small, I had extra people living in my house. They were named I Don't Know and Not Me. Okay, that's little children. And it is our job as their parents, to teach them not only to speak the truth, but to take responsibility for their actions. In today's society, when someone is caught red-handed in a lie, they don't admit to it and say they're sorry. They will sit there and spin everything possible. It reminds me of an old Shaggy song. Wasn't me. I got caught red-handed with the girl next door. Wasn't me. They even got me on camera. Wasn't me. Everything from huge political scams like Enron to O.J. Simpson's trial to all of the different things that are happening in our country today results from the complete lack of ability to speak the truth and to take responsibility for our actions. Now, we can say, that's got nothing to do with me. I taught my children right. I'm speaking the truth. But you know what? If a problem affects all of us, it does have something to do with us. It means that we have a responsibility to, in love, call out the truth. To, in love, like the Bible says, first one-on-one, then take another, and then in front of the church, to call out a lie. We have a responsibility to help those who have, for whatever reason, not learned to take responsibility for their own actions. Because until we, brothers and sisters, do this, nothing in our country or on our planet is going to change. We have to start living the principles found in the Word of God. I remember, I'm going to date myself here, several times. I remember watching this interview about Enron. Do y'all remember Enron and that great big scandal that cost most of their employees and a lot of their investors their life's savings? Now, I have a hard time with this. You see scams all over the place now. You pick up the phone and somebody's offering to get rid of both your MasterCard and Visa debt because, you know, MasterCard and Visa are the same company. You pick up the phone and somebody is trying to scam you in some way, shape, or form. Here, give me your Social Security number so that we can protect you. Nowadays, we have bright, brilliant people who spend time on coming up with horrid scams rather than going to work. We know they're intelligent. We know they're capable. But their choice is to do evil. And the only thing that allows evil to prevail is for good men and women to remain silent. Enron destroyed the lives of so many. And I remember watching this interview. It was on the day that the CEOs of the company were supposed to sign off on the financial accuracy of their particular position within the company. I can remember the interviewer asking one of the panelists, what makes you think they're going to tell the truth? If they have lied, if they have stole people's life savings, why would they not just fix the books? You can see the person's face. And then his answer left the interviewer dumbstruck and struck silent because he said, you know, I still believe that there are people out there who believe in truth-telling, who believe in taking responsibility. The interviewer was like, the look on his face and his silence said it all. He had never even considered that as a possibility. Are there people left who tell the truth? You remember Martha Stewart? Everybody loves a good comeback story. We love an underdog in this country, and that's okay. God loves the underdogs. But we should not support something that is not ethical. I remember a friend sent me a clipping about Martha Stewart's biography. And in it, it said something about she expected all her guests to get up early in the morning and go weed in her garden. Now, how anybody thinks that that's proper, I don't know. But so many times, people now think, depending on how they phrase it, that something is okay and that we will accept it, especially stars. O.J. Simpson, classic example there. He made a circus of the courtroom. It was completely insane. And the race car got pulled. I'm not saying that there isn't problems with race sometimes, but when it gets thrown out there as an excuse or something to make people feel guilty and to back off, then we have a problem. I love Pastor Saunders Gentry. She says it's got nothing to do with race. All of this stuff that we saw this past year, that had to do with violence. People were being pumped up. And they were being schooled to be violent. They weren't so much against statues that declared that slavery was all right. They destroyed President Lincoln's monument. They destroyed Rosa Parks' statue. They were looking to cause violence and terror. They were looking to blame anybody and get noticed. I have a really good friend that went to seminary with me, now lives in Grant County where I lived for 30 years, works for Purdue Extension, and she's a pastor of a small church. In the very beginning, she went to the courthouse for a peaceful demonstration. She was the only person of color there. All these other people wanted to be politically correct and jump on the bandwagon with it. I'm not saying that there aren't some issues that need healing. There are. But when you frenzy up people with emotions, whether it's for religion, politics, or especially when it's for violence, it is wrong. And it is not taking responsibility for our own actions, and it cannot possibly bring about healing. Does anyone tell the truth anymore? I know that my Lord Jesus Christ does. Jesus is part of a long-standing biblical tradition in favor of truth-telling. One of the Ten Commandments has something to say about that. And the entire book of Ezekiel is about truth-telling and speaking truth to power. Jesus continues this highly prophetic vocation of calling things out, of saying that is not right, that is not truth, that is not how the Father wants us to live. And when he came alongside of sinners, yes, my Lord ate with prostitutes, tax collectors, sinners of every kind. He came alongside of them, accepted them, and loved them right exactly where they were for who they were. But he loved them so much, he did not leave them in that state. Just being in his presence, for he embodies truth and responsibility. Just being in his presence, let alone hearing his words, caused other people to change. And beloved, we can have the same impact on people. We can love them. We can accept them. We can help them. And I hope you do the same for me. We can help people speak the truth in love. We can help people take responsibility for their actions without shaming them, thereby further entrenching whatever it is they're doing. and help them make a change and a difference in their lives. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, is one of the most important chapters in the Bible. It's one of those places where we see the Bible correcting itself, setting the record straight. The first three verses lay it out for us. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. In one stroke of a pen, centuries-old traditions is scratched out. Until that time, Israelites believed that their sins were visited upon them until the fifth generation. The commandments say that. I believe that that was the case. I still believe that there are generational strongholds. But no more, no more can we say, it's not me, wasn't me, it was my ancestors. Four generations ago, my ancestors sinned, and I'm now living out the consequences. God said, uh-uh, not enough of that. My people will be responsible for their actions. And yes, there are times where we have consequences for our actions. And our Lord does indeed forgive us and wash us clean. But we still have to serve out those earthly consequences. We don't have to serve them out alone. Our Lord and Savior will always be with us. And if we have a good church family, they will walk alongside of us as well. And you will see no greater change than coming along someone who has humbly admitted their sins, is enduring the consequences while being loved by God's people. Wow, being loved by God's people. This is one of what I now consider one of the most important verses in the Bible. Ezekiel 18:4. Hear these words. Know that all lives are mine. The life of the parent as well as the life of the child is mine. It is only the person who sins that shall die. What matters is individual responsibility. It is a word that we desperately need in our times, is individual responsibility. What made Ezekiel jump to this conclusion? How was he so sure? I love Ezekiel, street preacher, the one called to act out the sins of Israel, to stay on his side for 365 days, to not grieve his wife when she died, to cook over dung, let alone all the different prophecies that he was called upon to not only preach to the people, but literally live out and act out. So when he is telling us truth, he has great weight, great validation, because he lived this out. During the time that Ezekiel served, it was called the time of exile. About 587 BC, Babylon had conquered Israel. They had actually swooped in, conquered them, and taken away their best and brightest people. They took away all of the young men, all of the future, and began to teach them differently. Talk about infiltration. Do you see that happening today? I see that happening today. And not just in foreign countries where they take young children, 5, 6 years old and teach them guerrilla warfare, thereby changing not only their way of thinking, but their actual wiring in their brain and their nervous systems. Teaching them to be hardened warriors. That type of thing happens in our country today, where we teach people that it's okay not to take responsibility. I saw this cartoon once, and it was in the 50s. They showed two parents standing over a child with their report card, asking him to explain how he got this type of report. And then we jump over to today. And the two parents are standing above the teacher's desk as if it's her fault that the child got this grade, that the child behaved in this way. And the kid is standing there going, laughing about it. We have become a society so entitled, so concerned about our rights, that we even make excuses for our own children when they do wrong in school, when they do wrong in society. I'll never forget when my kids were growing up, I had a really good friend, and we kind of raised the kids together. I had four and she had one, but nevertheless, Dominic, her son, I think he was about 11, had gotten in trouble. He had set a fire in the back of my house, and she excused that. She excused everything that he did in school because he had a learning disability. The boy went to the Coliseum and took every fire extinguisher in the place and sprayed the entire Coliseum. $4 million worth of damage. Not only would my kids not sit down for a week, but they would have been in there scrubbing and cleaning and taking responsibility for what they did. I firmly believe if a kid acts up in school, we shouldn't send them home for 3 days. That's exactly what they want. Have them scrub the floorboards in the school. Have them scrub the walls. Have them do something that nurtures responsibility and change in their lives. It is not easy being a kid in this day and age. It is very difficult to be a child in this day and age. There is so much peer pressure. There are so many excuses that you can pull out for the reasons that you do this or that. Some of the people at the time of Moses used this five-generation punishment to get themselves off of the hook, especially in regards to King Manasseh's reign. He did all kinds of horrid things. And they blamed everything that they themselves did on their ancestors. I do believe with all of my being in spiritual warfare. When people hear me say that, they don't exactly know what I mean. What I mean is that the enemy infiltrates our brain and he tries to cause confusion and drive wedges between people. But I don't want to hear any of this, the devil made me do it. If you can say something like that, then you also know that there is a good and mighty God who you can hold yourselves accountable to. And I firmly believe, as I was told this morning, Philippians 4:13, we can do anything through Christ. Christ is my power. He can help me change things in my life. He can help me stand against peer pressure. He can help me take responsibility for things in my life. And then our good and gracious Father has so much pride in us. To prove Ezekiel's point, he spends the rest of his chapter outlining case studies. The first one has to do with the good man. The second one has to do with the bad son of a good man. And the third, a good son of a bad man. Ezekiel goes on in detail to call people out and say, that's not an excuse for your behavior. That is not truth-telling. Ezekiel is known as the watchman. And I'll never forget when my call first started coming. Repeatedly, I would have scripture from the book of Ezekiel come to me. The first one took me a good 20 years to figure out what it meant. It said, Ezekiel 3, 8, and 9, do not be afraid. Do not be terrified of them. Though they are obstinate, I will make your forehead as hard as flint. The trick is having that hard forehead, that tough skin, and retaining a heart of flesh that loves and that has compassion for others. Beth, I have so much respect for you and what you do, and I've talked to people that you've worked with, and the fact that you can invite people to church, and the fact that you can quietly let them know that their behavior is not right, but they are loved by our God, is indeed life-changing. Ezekiel went on to constantly say that there is no sin that cannot be forgiven. There is one sin that we know of that cannot be forgiven, and that is the sin of blasphemy. Now, granted, people, much greater Christian scholars than I, have studied this for centuries on what it means. But near as I can figure, what it means is lying to the Holy Spirit, lying to your own self, lying to your conscience. Because we know the difference from right or wrong. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It doesn't matter what horrific things have happened in your life. We all, unless we so sear our conscience and harden our heart that we believe our own lies, and it is then that the Spirit of truth is taken from us, we all know the truth. We know the difference from right or wrong. I love that saying that says, we have learned everything we need to learn in kindergarten. And that's true. We have learned the golden rule to treat others as we would want to be treated. We have learned to share, not to take, not to steal, not to lie. When we blaspheme, our good and gracious God is working through His Holy Spirit to tell our conscience that something is not right. And we ignore that. That is sin of the greatest kind, going against the truth of the Lord, especially when we know it. Our God does not punish us for things we don't know. This whole thing about the COVID vaccination and whatnot. I had a friend who was saying, that's the mark of the beast. 666, that's a mark of the beast. I wasn't feeling good. I was real tired that night. I was kind of confused. And I was like, maybe she's right. So I called my mentor up and I'm like, David, it does say in there that we will know that we are taking the mark of the beast, right? Yes. Okay. So we no longer can claim a lack of responsibility. I don't know exactly what that mark will be. There's all kinds of speculation. A chip being put in us, a brand on our forehead, whatever it is. I don't know. What I do know is we will be offered a choice. I personally believe that it'll probably be a horrific choice. Here, if you want to have food for you and for your family, you will do this. I can't go against God, no matter what is being asked of me. You know, the leaders of Jesus' day said that he was filled with a demon, and thereby he was casting out demons. Well, we know a house divided cannot stand against itself. Why on earth would Satan destroy Satan? And it wasn't just for show. We know that that was the religious leaders trying, just like politicians do today. We see it when election time is coming up. They try to demonize one another. They bring out every single piece of dirt that the person did from fourth grade on up. It was no different in Jesus' time. They were trying to say, because he was receiving attention from teaching the truth, from healing people, we know that it was of God, because the lame began to walk, the blind began to see, the deaf began to hear. Those who were opposed by the strong men received freedom. Yet, they tried to say that he was housing a demon within himself, and that was what was doing it. Okay, I'm jumping around here a little bit, got a little lost. What's clear and what can be said is that in the same vein of Ezekiel, Jesus says that we, and only we ourselves, are responsible for what is in our hearts and minds, and thereby what comes out our mouths. Sometimes I've been known to say, "Ooh, I thought that really loud, didn't I?" And what I've harbored quietly in my heart ends up coming out my mouth, and I end up looking like a fool. Well, you know, that's my responsibility. I have to own every single word that comes out of my mouth. I'm not going to go into all the details, but I don't know how many times I've looked at Terry, been going blip, blip, blip about something, and then God goes. And I'm like, oops, he got me, didn't he? And she just laughs and shakes her head and kind of agrees, yep, he got you, Pastor. By now, most of you have probably seen the movie Aaron Brockovich. Did anybody see that movie? There we go, good. We need to show some movies in here. That's probably not going to be one of them because the language is really strong. But if you can get around that strong language, it's a pretty good movie. It is a true story. The real Aaron Brockovich took on a $30 billion company in a direct action lawsuit. Because not only were they poisoning people with a chemical that caused over 600 illnesses in a very small community, smaller than what Seymour is. PG&E lied to people. They sent out pamphlet after pamphlet saying this chemical is safe when people were concerned about it. And it continued to make people sick and to kill them. What really gives the movie some weight is that the real judge that tried this, Leroy A. Simons, appears in the movie playing himself as he reads his decision. His presence adds credibility to the film. He has reviewed 84 objections by the company. He has listened to them. He has researched them. He has tried to weigh what they were trying to do for good over what the result were. And what he came down to was intention, beloved. They intentionally sent out lies. They refused to take responsibility. Wasn't me. Wasn't me. In this day and age, we have a real problem with people lying and not taking responsibility. Maybe it's how they were raised. Maybe it's because they have been allowed to for so long. Maybe it's because this truth has never sunk deeply into their hearts. I know a lot of people who can quote me chapter and verse in here. And it's not mine to say. But I do have to wonder if this has broken the 12 inches between head and heart. Because once it does, it is life-changing. It is life-changing. I love the song Terry picked out for me, because I forgot to send it to her. And all I said was, oops, will you pick one for me? Because I was at the doctor. So she picked out, here I am, Lord. And here we are, Lord. You have heard your people's cries. You are the Lord of snow and rain that bears all of our pain. Lead us to help our world in truth-telling and taking responsibility.